Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and today we are talking about technology that actually increases your cash flow, because there's a lot of stuff out there, and frankly, it's hard to know what to add and what's going to be most optimal, and then it adds up too, and it's just so expensive. And so knowing what's right, I have decided to bring on the expert and guru at Systems and Operations. This is the man that has managed over 187 different short-term rentals, which is a crazy amount. He has a fractional COO services for STR operators, which we'll talk about and what that all means, because it's a new term, fractional COO services. And so my man, Cody Wood, who I'm a personal friend, and he's helped me, giving me good advice before. I'm excited to have you on the show. Cody, tell us more about yourself.
Yeah, so basically my background is I started several years ago, transitioned from aerospace and defense, grew a portfolio of 75 to 187 within 8 months, then shifted back to focusing on more systems and processes. And now I help clients that I work with that you generally have around a portfolio of 20 properties. Really build out their systems and processes to be successful, that they can grow their business and develop themselves to be successful.
Awesome. Oh, Cody. So when I first, when I first met you and we were talking, you had grown your portfolio, and then I think you had pulled back on some of the properties. Like you were working with a property management company, and you guys had grown, and then you realized at a certain point that it just wasn't optimal. And so you guys cut a lot of clients, or I don't know how many you cut. You can tell me the details in a second, but you cut some people, and now you got a certain list, you know, elevated clients. Why would you do that? And yeah, I mean, let's start there, because I think that story is really interesting, and people would want to know that.
Yeah. So it's the old 80-20 rule, right? So 80% of the workload is going to be 20% of your clients. And what we realized was that 20% weren't actually bringing in 80% of our profits. They were bringing in, like, quite literally 20% of our profit. And they were not the best clientele that we were working with. Oftentimes, they were wanting to be involved in every little thing that we did. So we weren't able to operate our operations at our standards or our quality. And what we also realized was we were neglecting our profit-making properties, because we were spending so much time with these clients who they just weren't really the best. And when we actually started cutting them out, we actually start focusing on these properties. And so the same revenue we were making at 187 properties, we actually found within 60 properties, we were making the same revenue because we were able to focus on them and actually invest the time and energy to elevate them. And that's really was, it was revolutionary at the time, and we didn't even realize it. But, you know, now it's kind of allowed for me to step out of the operations completely. My partner is still growing things there, but now I'm actually taking what I've learned and I'm taking it to other operators and actually helping them develop this and build this out and walk through it with them.
That sounds, and maybe it all comes from the same thing, but it sounds like the book Profit First and the Pumpkin Plan. Is that
in a lot of ways it was?
Yeah.
When I read that, for those, I was like, I live this.
Yeah. For those listening, books to read about business, especially with short-term rentals, 100% recommend Profit First, Mike Michalowicz. He's got Pumpkin Plan. And then another one I really like from him is Clockwork as well, because I mean, he lays it all. He talks about that like 80-20 rule, what you just said. I mean, that's so true. Like 20% of your clients are just like take up 80% of your time. And if you can cut those out, you can scale and get to the next level. But you did it. You went from having to work in the business and create operations and systems in place that you know, that you want to get to, everyone talks about, right? Like, oh, there's this like system way of doing this where I don't have to be involved. It's like this dream for everyone, but you actually figured that out and you did it. And so, and that's what I really want to talk today about is, you know, what was though? How did you do those things? How did you come up with that? Those SOPs and just operating procedures that you to pull this off?
Yeah. I mean, so I'll kind of start kind of high level and then work our way down. I mean, I do it two ways when I work with my clients. So I work from the bottom up, working from the processes, the systems, and then I also walk from the top down, looking at the overall system, you know, and you're going to have different systems, right? You're going to have a sales system, a customer service system, a guest system. We know this today as like our CRMs, our PMSs, but in reality, I started really at the very base and I mapped the guest journey. I mapped my homeowner investor journey, which most people are a little bit surprised that I mapped three different journeys, but in reality, people are at different stages. Like investors, are they brand new? Have they done this before with other operators? Is there expectations? Are you going to have to educate them? A homeowner, just understand they're going to be heavily involved because it's their baby. And so is that who you want to work with? With that also being said, then you got to map your guest journey. Okay, what does that look like? Well, if you're only on Airbnb, your guest journey is pretty simple. If you're only on VRBO, your guest journey is pretty simple. Okay, what if you're on both systems? And then what if you're also got a direct booking? You know, how does that change things? You know, then it's like, okay, well, do you understand cost per reservation? Because your cost on VRBO may actually be higher than on Airbnb. Because if you're using, for example, the PMS owner res, do you know that you have to have a, you know, something like rental guardian? Because now once you've connected with owner res, you no longer have the VRBO protection and actually disables it once your API connected. Most people don't know that.
Yeah. I think a lot of our listeners use owner res. And so, hey, if you use owner res, I hope you heard that.
Yeah. And so you have to add the rental guardian for VRBO and your direct booking then. Then if you turn around and you look at Airbnb, like, yeah, you can add it for Airbnb. But if you actually understand the claims process through Airbnb, you really can be successful with all your claims because you've mapped it. You understand how their process works and you operate within their system. I was recently talking to several other operators and they're like, how are you getting reviews removed? I was like, I operate through Airbnb system. I don't try to cheat it. I know there was a big thing in the industry more recently about bribing VAs and bribing the team members of Airbnb to get reviews removed. I saw a lot of letters get sent out. My company wasn't one of them. Why? Because we operated within the Airbnb system and we had a 96% success rate getting those reviews removed. And Kenny, you remember we talked probably about a year ago when you were developing something. You're like, actually for PM, y'all were actually pretty high on that score. And that's why, because we were paying attention and we saw the value long before anyone else was really looking at the reviews, because we knew that there was an intrinsic value on these platforms that you have to pay attention to.
Gotcha. Okay. Lots to unpack here. So, you know, you're talking about PMSs, you're talking about, you know, managing reviews, and I don't know if pricing was mentioned, but I assume pricing could be topped in there too. Yeah, it's in the pile, right? In the pot. So technology that increases your cash flow. So when you're looking at somebody approaching a host who you said the average is like 20 properties that they have, or like, what are you typically around?
Yeah. So there's a threshold, right? So every operator or property manager, once they reached about 20 properties, they encounter a whole new host of issues that they have to start managing. Generally, it's around 20, I say. Usually when you get above 20, it becomes a little bit more difficult if you don't have systems and processes in place, or if you haven't been documenting how you solve problems. You're going to run into a whole new slew of issues because you're going to have to start building a team at that point, because you don't want to be trying to manage 20 properties by yourself. It is an absolute nightmare. You're going to want to have people that are helping you, whether it's VAs or boots on the ground, whatever that system is. There's multiple different models in this industry. And the thing that I would tell you is that you're going to have your systems. You're going to have processes. You're going to have to understand how your tech integrates with these individuals, who's responsible for what. And when we go into all those pieces, this is when we're going to start understanding, okay, are you actually using the right technology for yourself? Because did you just hear somebody tell you on Facebook, hey, you should be using this tech because it's the most popular? Well, sometimes the most popular tech is actually not the best option for you. And sometimes the most expensive is not the best option just because it's the most expensive in the industry. In the same sense, you know, if it's cheapest. Again, I've have done multiple PMS switches in my time in this industry, and I will tell you they're always horrible. There's never a peaceful transition from PMSs. It is very painful. There's things that you're going to that you liked in your old PMS and won't be in your new PMS. There's new ways of getting data. It's a mess. But back to the question, what I usually see is like there's that tier at 20, then there's the tier at 60, and then there's another tier at 100 that I generally see that you have in different problems you're going to encounter. At 20, it's definitely most of the time you don't have systems, you don't have processes, and you can get up to 60 plus and not have systems and process. But I will tell you, you're on the verge of collapse because you are just running and gunning. You're probably behind on your billing, your clients, your probably like not really 100% on your pricing. You're just using your gut, which can be pretty stressful if that's how you're operating. At 20 properties, you probably think that you have it all together, but then as things start happening, maintenance issues, are you doing preventative maintenance? Are you keeping track of how your cleaners are actually performing? Are you rating your cleaners weekly? Are you talking to them? And there's tools out there, like if you're looking at that specifically, well, stay on owner res, not to hate on them, but they have Turno, right, that they've integrated with. Turno kind of gives you those metrics. Well, are you using that data, or are you just letting it feed into Turno and never even looking at it? So now we're talking about, are you looking at specific KPIs for your business? Because you need to be looking at them. Are you looking at your monthly revenue? So talk about your P&L per property and then your overall company P&L. Are you keeping tabs on this? It's not just important for your clients, it's important for you, because if you're performing good, you want to know about it and celebrate it with your guests and your clients, excuse me. And if you're not, then there's going to be some hard conversations at the end of the month with that client. And it's much easier to get in front of it than your client finding out when you don't send them a check because something happened. You know, maybe there was an error in the system, you missed bookings, and it gets really ugly really, really fast.
Okay. So most of our listeners, based on my experience, they're all going to have less than 5 properties. Okay. So number one, especially for people starting out, I think I have a lot of people starting out who listen to this podcast. So shout out to all the rookies out there. So good job for doing your research. So how did they find the options out there? Cause you just mentioned like, you know, whoever screams the loudest on Facebook tends to get the most attention, which I would agree with that. And just, you know, in general. And sometimes it's like, or not sometimes, I guess it is sometimes, it's just not the best solution, especially for someone starting out. But how do they know what other options are out there? Like, do you have recommendations of places to go or determining that? Like, what would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I have done this a few times in several different posts where I actually have commented and told people to go look at strhub.com. They've actually done a wonderful job of actually breaking out different PMSs and tech that's out there for you. So before you even pick up the phone to
Christine Crumps, right?
Yes. But before you even pick up the phone to go figure out, you know, a software or try to figure out something you want to add, you can actually take that evaluation that they've done. And there's actually operators who are leaving reviews on the softwares. And so you can actually get some real feedback real time from these different operators, like what they liked about the software, what they hated about the software, instead of just taking somebody on Facebook who may not have the same operations as you or the same difficulties that your business might have. You can actually kind of compare these up front, and then you can actually call them and get some quotes and actually have some conversations, do some demos and see truly like, is this really going to fit my needs? And the one thing I would tell you when you're picking a PMS or a software is write down what you're needing to solve. And then one thing I would tell you is when you go to evaluate that software is, will it solve this problem? And not will it do all these other flashy things? Will it solve the problem I have today? And if it will, great. That's the software for you. And if it won't, or they say, oh, it can do that, but then make them show you it, Trust me, you want them to demo it. If they can't demo it, then it's probably something that's a feature that's coming. And if it's coming, that means it's probably not live. And then if you switch to that software, you're going to be really frustrated really quickly.
Gotcha. That's good advice. So that's strhub.com for those of you who are listening who want those other just valuable resources on there. STR Insights even made it. So I haven't looked at our reviews, though. I don't know if we have any, but
let me jump over there and leave you one.
We're cutting this out. Not making it in the podcast. It's just like, yeah, go to okay. This kid's like, yeah. Oh, goodness. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, check that out, strhub.com. Now, for someone starting out with one property, getting all these subscriptions, I mean, we kind of bake that into the pro forma as a line item, like tech fees. Like I have it about $120 a month. And that tends to be like what I see as the average, but this stuff can add up. I mean, if you start doing, market my STR and all, you know, some of these other services, they're $200 a month or, you know, whatever. I mean, it could be well over $125. So, I mean, what is someone starting out with? Like, what do they need?
I don't think someone starting out right out of the gate needs a Market My STR.
It doesn't have to be Market My STR. This wasn't a pick on Market My STR
thing. No. I mean, again, a marketing program like that, I mean, that's a pretty powerful software. And I mean, there is a need for it for sure. But I don't think at 5 properties and below that you're really at that point. That really needs to be something you consider when you've reached 10 plus properties, in my opinion, because then you're juggling a couple more. At 5 properties, you can handle the marketing, which there's a lot of free options, such as buy sell trade groups. If you're not using them, you should be. It's really easy for your properties. The other side of that is there is paid ads you can do. I don't think that the paid ads are as great as they used to be. I have noticed in the subsequent years that when I started, 3 or 4 years ago, you don't get as much bang for your buck on the paid ads. Now, there is a way that you can. If you're a marketing guru, then you probably know much more than I do. But, you know, there's a lot of testing you have to do, right? So, like, there's something that I have my team do is what's called a 24-hour test. And we launch over 75 different ads testing different things within 24 hours for a property. That is a different strategy than most people probably teach in this space, but there is a reason for it because I'm testing what copy is working, what copy is not, what titles are working, what pictures are working or photos or videos. You know, there's so many things that I'm testing and then I'll create what I call my super ad from that. So there's a little trick if you're going to go down the paid ads route. The biggest thing that you're kind of probably need at 5 properties is really just something I would even throw this out there, kind of a bone to them is maybe a hospitable, and the basic package of a hospitable will get you by at 5 properties or below. You don't need all this fancy features, even though they're nice to have. I will say they're not so critical that you can't operate your business efficiently and have that automated messaging and be able to see everything and kind of tie in maybe a pricing software such as Wheelhouse or Price Labs or Beyond Pricing. And learning those tools will be great even at a smaller portfolio, because if you can learn these tools as you scale, you're going to be much more comfortable with your pricing for different markets as you expand your portfolio.
Okay. That's interesting. So let me ask you this scenario. If I'm planning on one day owning 10 properties in the next 5 years, okay, I'm starting them at 1 or 2. Should I go ahead and get the crazy property management software, and get everything set up? Or should I just start with hospitable? And then after I start to hit, 5 properties or so, then switch over to property management software?
Yeah, I would say start off with a hospitable. And there's a reason for that. I think you actually started with hospitable, if I recall. And I did too. So no shame there.
We were at the party together, man. So for those of you listening, when I officially met Cody, it was at a hospitable, which is a company, a software. It was they were hosting a party at VRMate in Vegas. And Cody was like, hey, and he like knew everything about me. And I was like, who is this guy? But we became good friends after that. So anyway, that's a little background on that. If you're like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. And so I think it was like there, I forget what that place was, but it was like supposed to be for Instagram photos or something. Like, I don't remember. It's so weird. I will also say that what y'all don't know is Kenny was also wearing Where is Waldo outfit. And so it was easy to spot him at VRMA.
Yes.
Yeah. You'll never get away from that.
The dark days of 2022. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, one conference or something, I'm just going to wear the little beanie, you know, or maybe a podcast episode. I should have whipped that one out. Just like wear it as a memento. People remind me every now and then, like, hey, where's Waldo guy? So
that's awesome. Yeah, that was great. It was the best marketing. I mean, I don't think anybody even realized what you were doing, but I did. I was like, I know why you're doing
that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, after talking to a bunch of property managers, I was like, yeah, this really isn't my crowd, you know, and they're not going to get the Where's Waldo. But there was another event that was, thanks for visiting, Sarah and Annette. They had an event like kind of the day before, and I wore that to that. And it made more sense there. I just learned, you know. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. VRMA is a big pitch for a lot of software managers. If you're new to the industry, VRMA is Vacation Rental Managers Association, just so you're aware. That's where all the big tech come to reveal their stuff and try to get PMs to sign up with their software. It's a massive event. Massive.
It's massive. And some of the biggest parties I think I've ever like personally experienced outside of college, like the amount of funds they dump into the park. Now, it's not the number of people. Sure, it's a lot of people, but like they do crazy things at some of these parties and at venues and stuff like that. And so like it's kind of become like this, you know, who's got the coolest party is the real advertised.
Yeah, it has. And there's a whole topic we could go on
VRMA. Yeah, I know. We could just go off on VRMA. But yeah, anyway, for those listening, I don't personally go to those events, but I do think they're really cool for learning about new technology and what's out in the space, especially as you're trying to scale and grow. So, you know, yeah, as you will, but
yeah, that's where you'll see the largest operators at 500 to 1,000 properties and the panels that they have there. So that's a completely different world. And if that's something you aspire to, then by all means, you should definitely get involved with VRMA. It is a amazing system for you to get connected with a really big network of really large property managers. And there's a lot of experience that those guys can teach you from the golden days, as they call it, you know, the archaic days, as I also like to call it, because these guys were pen and paper type of vacation rental managers, which is just insane to think about today. The biggest thing, though, is like when you're starting out, the key is not adding too much technology, because you want to still have that human element to your business starting out. And there's a lot of stuff coming out where it's really cool. There's a lot of AI coming out that you can totally utilize. But I will tell you firsthand, when you're starting out, funds are tight most of the time. And so I would say like, it's okay to look at the smaller software, such as like a Hospitable, and just getting the bare basics of what you need to be able to multi-channel, to be able to have one multiple inbox coming in with all the messaging. You don't necessarily need the biggest, the flashiest, because, you know, if you go for those softwares, they're going to have all these fields you're going to need to fill out. Okay. It's going to be overwhelming, even at one property, to fill out. And I would tell you, you're going to get there over time, and you should be thinking about those things like your preventive maintenance stuff, you know, your messaging that you're going to put together. But Hospitable kind of slowly walks you into it, and they'll give you some templates, and there's a lot of forums out there that can show you like how to do gap nights. And you may ask, what is a gap night? And there's a whole, you know, subculture of Hospitable that can tell you about all of this. But then with Hospitable, they're adding a lot of stuff too. And so you can add on those extras if you really want them.
I mean, you can build out a direct booking site now in Hospitable. I thought that was pretty cool. You don't need to go spend, I'm not going to name any names. You don't need to spend a lot of money to go buy a direct booking setup and, you know, go do that. Like it's, yeah, some of these, I like that. Keeping it simple, building a strong foundation. That's real, like, that to me, like, kind of summarizes this whole conversation. Everybody listening to this is like, how can you, you know, not get overwhelmed? I see people all the time, hey, what do I use for this? How do I do this? Like, you know, and it's all these different, what do you think about this piece of software? And it's like, you don't really need that. You know? So, yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, in reality is like, you think about this, you've got to manage cleaners starting out. You've got to manage maintenance person, unless it's yourself. You've got to manage inventory for your property. You know, there's already a lot of stuff you've got to do. And it's actually a little bit better that you do it manual at first, because you know how the hard way to do it. And then when you start adding technology, all you're doing is you're increasing your ability to expand your business at that point. And then you're also understanding, well, why am I adding this? Am I adding it because that's what everyone's telling me to do? Or is it because I actually have a need in my business to automate this or to streamline this? So that way, when I hire my next employee or my first employee, that it's going to be easier for me to can keep scaling my business. And I don't have to come back and try to solve this, you know, at 20 properties, because now we already have a process. We know how this works. We have our products that we want to use here. All of this is already figured out because you've already gone through the hard part of figuring this piece out. And once you have this piece identified, then you can go, okay, hospitable is great. Well, maybe you want a little bit more. Okay, well, then that's when you're looking for those specific items. Like I said, your list, you can do those demos then with those bigger companies for the PMSs. And mm-hmm. now you can actually ask the question, can you do this? How do I integrate it? How long will it take me? And those are the right questions to start asking, because just because you switch a PMS, not everything that you're using is going to be 100% on day one that you start with them. It's going to be possibly a couple weeks, maybe a couple months as you ease into the software.
I like that a lot. Okay. So how, when it comes to your, so we talked a lot about software and technology. I mean, man, it's the title of the podcast, right? The episode, right? So that's like, yeah, that's what we're talking about. But one thing I didn't want to like, we even talked about this when we were creating the title. We're like, we don't want to put the word or the term SOPs and standard operating procedures, because that, like, everyone's kind of like, oh, boring, like skip. But it's so important. So obviously technology is really cool and sexy, but let's transition to SOPs. So what are they? When should people start documenting SOPs, and how do you build that up as you scale?
Yeah. So SOPs is your how-to to do something, right? Whether it's, you know, using the software that you are using or the email template, that's what you're going to call as your SOP. When you look at a process chart, and this is where a lot of people get wrong, and they're like, oh, you just need SOPs. I hate to tell you this, but SOPs don't run your business. They're the how-tos. But what you actually need to do is map a process. So when a guest checks in, you know, or I'll actually make it this even simpler for us in this context. So a sales call, okay? We're going to go through the sales call process. Okay, first thing I do, I'm going to send an email out to Kenny, and I'm going to say, hey, Kenny, let's have a meeting. I have this amazing product I want to show you, my property. And, you know, there's that SOP of what the email is. But then next thing is, okay, once the email's sent, Kenny's process is going to be, he's going to get my Calendly link or my Zoom link. And then, you know, I may go through there and say, okay, and then here's my sales pitch. Here's the SOP on how I do my sales pitch. But I don't have an SOP about how to send the Zoom link. How does he click on the link? I'm not going to build SOPs for every little thing. And that's the biggest mistake I see a lot of new operators and PMs are doing. They think they have to have SOPs for everything. And that is not the case here, guys. What y'all actually need is actually a process first. And then there's where, okay, well, what is that email template that I first send out, or that guest message that I send out first? And why do we send that message out? Because I want this desired result. And then there's going to be this period where you're going to go in, you're going to be refining that process, because you're going to find, oh, well, you know what? If I send a text message to Kenny prior to the meeting, it's more likely he shows up for the meeting. Okay. Well, then we're going to add that into our SOP. Like, also make sure that the system sends out a text message to verify prior to the meeting. Okay. Perfect. That's what we're looking for. Now, granted, Calendly does most of this for us today, but in that mindset, you notice that there's only two SOPs, my sales pitch, when I'm actually talking with Kenny on the call, and my initial email is my SOP. So in the same sense, what I want y'all to get from this is that we're building a process, and you'll map the whole process, But then we'll also look at, okay, well, what tech do we need? So there's a Calendly and a Zoom link that we're going to utilize in here. Who's interfacing? So it's going to be me, Cody. I'm interfacing with this. Here's my SOP for what's the first email I'm sending, and then what's my pitch when we actually get in there, what I'm talking about, how I'm going to do it the same way and improve it over time. And if you find that it's not working, well, then that means that you need to refine it, go backwards and get better at it. And so this is how you should be looking at your entire business as you're building this out, whether it's dealing with a vendor, interviewing new vendors, how do you find them in new markets? These are all things that you should be thinking about. What do you do with the property? You know, preventative maintenance wise, how do they clean the property? And do you really want to go in there and try to show a cleaner how to clean your property every time you get a new cleaner? The answer is definitely not, especially as you scale. So then you're going to have, you know, most people say, oh, you need a checklist. Well, checklists are great, but that's just the how-to. And what you really want to do is then go backwards and interview them. Like, how would you clean this? I want to make sure that we're in alignment on how I want you to clean my property. So now we're going upstream and we're doing it in the interview process. And you should interview your vendors. Most people I know are just looking at price tags. And you should be thinking about this, like, are they going to align with what I'm trying to achieve here for my business?
Yeah, I like that a lot. So tell us why, though. Why do you need SOP? Because that sounds super tedious. And, you know, we said boring. I mean, maybe not for some, but for others. So, like, why is it important?
The whole reason you're doing this, all of this, is because you're backing yourself out of a job. You are going to eventually hire someone else to replace you, whether it's a VA or somebody here, US-based, doesn't matter. When they take on that role, you want them to get the same desired results that you've received. How do they do that? Well, they don't do it just by themselves. And the analogy that I'm going to use is we all have about 35,000 decisions that we make in a day. My experience and Kenny's experience are different. My 35,000 decisions, I'm going to base it off my experience and my knowledge. Kenny's going to base it off his experience and knowledge. We are probably going to get close to the same result because we've both been doing this for a little bit. But then if you're brand new, you're not going to have the same solution we have. And so when you think about putting a VA in that spot or another employee, you're going to want to have this in place so that you get the exact same result throughout the process. And now you're guaranteed, like, okay, if you follow this process, these are the expected results. This is the KPI we're going to measure. And so now you have something, the foundation of your business is being built. And at some point, when you're getting ready to step back, you can turn this over and actually have someone operate it just like you with your knowledge and experience without actually having to be you.
Yeah, no, I love that. Too many people are focused on, like, getting doors and growth and scaling, and because that's what's really talked about today. But a lot of people are often working in their business, you know, rather than, like, outside of their business. They're spending too much time in it trying to do the day-to-day operations that are actually repeatable. It's funny when I hear people say all the time, hey, like, no one can do it like me. And I'm like, Is that so? Like, no one can do your property in your market where there's hundreds or even thousands of other properties there like you? Like, I don't know about that. You know, and it goes back to this whole, like, the decisions you're making are just, it's just simple, repeatable things, identifying those, creating the process, writing it down, and then finding a way to get that offloaded, whether through technology or another individual.
Yeah. And I mean, the biggest problem that they're going to run into is as they scale, my business partner that I partnered with, he had this problem. When I first started with him, he had two cell phones. He would go out to hang out with friends. He was always on the phone. Kenny, you probably experienced this early on when you met us. And basically my goal, my mission initially was to get nights and weekends back for everybody, because that was the biggest problem. So it started with me building a team. And it started with me building systems and process for vendors and how we do things. You know, when do you send a vendor to the property? When do you don't? What's the threshold of the revenue that, you know, or the cost of the job? Vendors aren't allowed to go to the property without work orders. These are just little things that I added in that ultimately led to where, you know, today, 2024, I'm not in the operations. I'm actually now working with other operators, other PMs across the nation, and helping them streamline their operations, because now I already know exactly what's going on. So when I step into their business, I'm able to look at what tech they're using and where it's adding cost. Jackson just had a big win with one of my clients within, 4 weeks with him. You know, I cut his VA cost almost $4,000 because he was using a VA placement service as an example. And they were charging an enormous amount. And now for the first time, they have 24/7 coverage. They've never had that before. And they're paying basically a tenth of the cost that they were paying originally, which is a huge savings for a small, for a small operator. You don't think about it, but all of this eats into your bottom line. And if you do want to scale and you do want to grow, there's certain things you're going to have to pay attention to. And the tech is a big problem because there is so much tech. There's so many subscriptions. You know, there's a lot of things that you can add on, but ultimately, is it actually moving your business forward, or are you actually just adding more cost and taking money out of your own pocket?
Yeah, I love that. How often, here's a question that just popped in my head, and I'll answer mine after, but how often do you audit your current tech stack / look for new technologies that might solve a problem? Because people are constantly innovating today.
Every couple of months, honestly. The biggest thing that I tell a lot of people before you should even look at your technology is get your systems, your processes in place. Because, just because the new tech's coming out doesn't mean it's right for your business at this point. And most of the time what I see is operators are chasing shiny object syndrome. Oh, it's new. It's shiny. It looks great. I really want to be a part of it.
It has AI.
Yeah, it has AI. I need this. And I'm like, that sounds great. But you got to remember, this is the hospitality company business. We are in the business of people working with people. And you're telling me you're going to turn it all over to AI, who may or may not get that. Because at the end of the day, we have empathy. We're going to understand that this guest has waited, 50 something weeks to have this 1 week vacation. And are you going to really trust everything over to a machine at the end of the day? Now, granted, you can train these machines and they are great tools, but they're not great for everything. And that's where I think the really greatness of this business is the ones who remember that this is a people business. And if you can have that human interaction at the end of the day, yeah, that's great to have some things automated. I totally agree. And you should. But there's also the factor of, when do the humans get involved? And you need that involvement, because that's what's going to make you beat the big PMs every day. And I will tell you that there's a threshold of PM success. Once they hit about 200 properties in a marketplace, that's about the threshold when PMs actually are at their peak. They can't go anymore. Once they go over that, they're going to lose to the local property managers or the local operators every single time.
Yeah, I love that. And then you'll be able to make more money.
That's right.
Shows up in the reviews, like you mentioned before. It's kind of just a chain reaction. That's really interesting. Okay, cool, man. Well, as we kind of wrap things up here, I think this has been super helpful, especially for a lot of our listeners who I know are new operators, or they have a couple properties already or five or less, and they're looking to grow. And there is a lot of shiny objects from out there.
Every conference.
It just explodes, like new stuff all over the place. And it is extremely, for those listening, I get it. It's extremely overwhelming. These people are like, I'm on calls all the time. These people are pitching because they're wanting, hey, how can we partner together? How can you promote to your people and so on? And I'm like, look, like if I don't use it, I'm not going to promote it, like just flat out, like, because it's like, is it necessary? Yes or no. But I like what you said, because the question isn't like, oh, this cool thing can like help me do this better, but like, how does it fit in my processes? Because you can just add on, bolt on a lot of cool things in, but if it doesn't actually save you on time, which your time is money, if it doesn't save you on the time, then what's the whole point of it? It's just going to, like you said, eat your bottom line. So I love that. That approach is different than how a lot of people are, trying to do things. They're all trying to take, look at the shiny object. Oh, this can be the shortcut, but you don't even know what the shortcut is for.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the key. You don't know the why. Yeah. When you know the why, it's so much easier to find the right systems for you. The technology will be there. When you don't understand the why, you're going to add a bunch of stuff that when you turn around, you're going to get burnt out from this business. You're going to be frustrated with the technology. And one of the comments, or, you know, years ago that me and my partner even told each other, like, you know, we did this to be a hospitality company, but we've become an SaaS company because we're spending so much time on the tech than we're actually building the business. And let that sink in. Are you spending more time on your tech than you are actually building your business? And if you are, then you have fallen prey to the tech nightmare, which is quite literally the biggest problem in this industry, because you're so worried about the tech instead of how do I improve my systems so whatever I'm using is better. And if there is a better solution, now I can go look for it because I know what I actually need and I don't overpay for what I don't.
Right. I love that. I love that. So I realized I forgot to say my response to this, but for me listening, I know someone's going to reach out to me like, Kenny, you said you were going to say this, but you didn't. Like, what is it? I got to know the answer. And I'm like, well, I got to re-listen to the episode again. I audit all of my technologies and everything, not just my tech. I mean, like, I'll audit like trash and everything, like everything I pay for expenses, I audit at least once a year. And I, every quarter would be more ideal, but you know, literally everything, all my softwares and all that, I'm like, is there something better or is this good enough? And a lot of times it's good enough. But I will replace certain things that I just don't need that are just eating my bottom line. You know, I'm a little hesitant to say some stuff that I'm gonna refrain from that, but there's been things that I'm like, it was kind of like shiny objects and someone's like, hey, yeah, use this and it works because I've used it and it works. And you're like, oh, cool. I trust that person. So I'm going to use it too. But then I'm like, I don't actually use it that much. You know, we're like, I don't, I'll give you maybe a lighter example. So like, I don't think you need to have some crazy digital guidebook personally with a few properties. I go into Canva and I have VAs that design stuff. I'm a terrible designer. So I, like I said, I have a special way of doing this to make it look good, but I have a digital guide. Like it creates a PDF file guidebook and I take that link and I plug it into Airbnb and people can click that link. I'm like, here's my guidebook and they can click it and it's got every single thing. And that is one less subscription that I have because it's a downloadable PDF file. They can just click it and do that. Now, to each his own. If you're bad at design, you don't want, and you think it looks really cool and it fits in with your property and the luxury and all this other stuff, that's fine. It's going to be different per person. But like, I mean, that's how like nitty gritty I get with some of these things, because I don't need another freaking $10 a month subscription for a guidebook that I can just like create and it's done. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of little things like that. And frankly, like, you know, even I, once again, I'm just going to be careful, but like some of the email, you know, providing stuff, like you can capture emails for free in other ways.
Yep.
Like
you don't have to use that. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's ways you can get scrappy with it and start cutting some of your costs, which will add up over time for sure.
Yeah. And you're also removing problems from your business, because some of this tech, I'll be the one to say it, I guess, you know, it adds complexity and issues to your business that you didn't have before. There is a certain entity out there that, you know, for whatever reasons, you add the problems into your Wi-Fi, for example.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And quite literally, what you don't think about, and I actually had a conversation with one of my clients. I'm a big fan of that software, just so you know. I use them. I like what I get out of it. It made some things easy. But I will also tell you, it blocks certain guests from the Wi-Fi. It disconnects from some of my smart tech. There's other issues where they don't have as good a speed. Now, there's ways to fix that, and you can troubleshoot it, of course. But then also, I mean, it is nice to see when the service goes offline, because then you can troubleshoot. Mm-hmm. There's a process for this. You know, when you have a vendor that's ready to go, you know, help troubleshoot a device. But at the same time, I want you to understand is like every piece of tech you add, whether it's physical in your property or whether it's digital, you're adding a new level of complexity to your business that you did not have before. You need to understand that, because if you have systems and processes, they're going to either have to change because of that complexity, or you're going to have new solutions because of that new problem you potentially created.
I love that. That's really good. That's a good, I love where we're ending here. So as we wrap up, Cody, I know you're a listener, so you know kind of the drill. We ask every single guest we have on, give us one. It can be about what we just talked about. It can be anything you want with short-term rentals. You have a lot of experience with a lot of different properties. Give us one tip to help people cash flow positive with their STRs.
So chaos is not scalable is the biggest thing I want you to walk away with. Systems and processes will make it to where your business can always scale, but you can scale at a much faster pace than your competitors. And I just want you to, again, chaos is what you're creating when you add a bunch of properties. But when you have systems in process, you kind of put guardrails on that chaos and you control it. And when you understand that, you're going to be able to scale faster. You're going to be able to scale stronger. And you're not going to be surprised or have issues that other new operators are going to run into because you've actually thought through some of these problems and found those root causes. And that's the key. Find the root cause. Don't just band-aid it and solve the symptom.
I love that. That's really good advice. Cody, if somebody is interested in having a conversation with you, learning more about your services, how do they get in touch with you? What's
the best way? Yeah. So, I mean, I have an email that I'll go ahead and give out here. It's innovate.vacations with an S at the end at gmail.com. I also have a LinkedIn. You can find me and add me there. I also have a link there that you can actually click on and schedule a call with me. It's completely free. I love talking with people and trying to help you grow and scale if possible. If there's anything that you need, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to answer if I can. And if not, I'll try to direct you and somebody like, you know, Kenny over here.
No, I'm just kidding. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Cody. So everybody listening, if you're interested, if you're listening on the podcast, go to innovate.vacations@gmail.com or you can go to our new Cashflow Positive YouTube channel. I finally separated. I got it out. It looks shiny. It's new. Please go and subscribe to it so it doesn't look like it's a fake scam account. So you can watch this live and you can see Cody's email underneath here. So innovate.vacations@gmail.com and then go and subscribe to Cashflow Positive on YouTube. So thank you so much, Cody, for being on the show. Thanks for everybody listening. And if you found any value in anything that my man Cody has taught us today, be sure to follow, subscribe, like, leave a review on this episode in iTunes or Spotify. I would greatly appreciate it. And thank you again for listening to Cashflow Positive. I'll see you on the next episode.